Chapter 6, The Big Blizzard. One day, which is to say a Tuesday, because all stories involving unexpected situations take place on a Tuesday, Dwayne went exploring into unknown territory. He had already explored down toward the ocean, and he had already explored in the direction east of his cave, toward the river and beyond the river too. Well, almost. But he had never explored in the opposite direction. On this day, Dwayne would leave his cave, but instead of turning right, he would turn left and follow where his curiosity led. Dwayne considered calling upon Handsome, his closest neighbor, to join in the adventure, but he was eager to start his exploring straight away. With Handsome, if he didn't simply say no right off, well, then there were bound to be many preparations required. "One cannot just rush from one's home looking shabby, rumpled, and unkempt," Handsome would likely say to Dwayne. "One never knows who one might run into, and appearances matter." And by the time Handsome had finished his face washing, his hair brushing, and his eyebrow tweaking, it would already be noon, and lunch would demand attention. No, thought Dwayne, this exploring would be best done on my own. So Dwayne headed left, and that was that. He walked at a fast clip, feeling quite excited because this was, after all, an excursion into the uncharted and unfamiliar. He might discover a new river or an old mountain or a glacier of dubious age. He might find a variety of ice perfectly suited for snow delights. That possibility was suggested by Dwayne's stomach, which was never shy to voice its opinion. But what if he was to encounter some danger along the way in this unknown territory? Imagine stumbling upon monsters, snarling things, hissing things, croaking things, things that spout fire and smoke, as shown in Cece's books. Monsters like that. Thinking about possible encounters with danger made Dwayne feel brave. And feeling both excited and brave put a bigger bounce in Dwayne's step, which kept him going into the unknown territory for quite some time. He was alert and ready for anything. On and on he went, and then on and on he went some more. Eventually, the bounce lessened to a dribble, and then the dribble sputtered to a trickle, until it finally reduced back to his usual lumbering step. It became more and more evident to Dwayne that nothing interesting was going to happen. No rivers, no mountains, no snow delights or monsters. The snowy land was ever so flat and uninspiring and went on forever without a glimmer of adventure beckoning over the horizons. Nor did Dwayne make any new acquaintances along the way, either passing by or flying overhead, which would have certainly brightened up his experience. Dwayne stopped and sighed. "Oh, well," he said to himself. "Too bad," agreed his stomach. But this was a Tuesday, as I mentioned, and Tuesdays are for unexpected situations, by which I mean the sky suddenly sagged heavier with clouds laden with trouble, while the wind, feeling mischievous, grew increasingly more powerful. The temperature dropped to a most inhospitable level. Snow started falling in copious amounts, which was then quickly lifted up by the wind, so that it fell again and again in swirling waves, blotting out the sun, leaving Dwayne alone with a ferocious, howling blizzard. "Oh dear," said Dwayne to himself. His stomach had nothing to add. There are mornings when you wake up thinking it's a great day for exploring, and it turns out you were correct. There are other mornings when you wake up thinking that it's a great day for exploring, and by afternoon, you wish the thought hadn't even crossed your mind. Dwayne found himself among the latter category of mornings. Whoosh blew the wind. Click, 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 chattered Dwayne's teeth in reply. The temperature dropped so low even with his thick fur, Dwayne shivered in the gasping, biting cold. His eyelids were freezing together, and soon they'd be bound shut as ice pellets whipped his face from all directions. His muscles ached. His energy was seeping out of him. Dwayne was exposed and vulnerable to a most dangerous situation. Shelter was required. Dwayne's blizzard-abled brain was able to muster at least that much of a plan. So he dug and dug into the rising snow with the goal of hollowing out a snow cave, a place to weather the terrible storm. It was hard work. His arms were stiffening. He was tiring so quickly. His big, strong paws would soon fail him. Dwayne grunted and moaned, and just when he thought he was making some progress in digging his cave, he came up against a sturdy wall of snow buried within the snow. Dwayne was confused. He clawed at the wall, creating a peephole. Through Dwayne's near-frozen shut eyes, he saw a flicker of fire. His nostrils picked up the smell of smoke. His ears were suddenly assaulted by a discord of barks and growls. "Oh my," thought Dwayne. "Have I stumbled up against the lair of one of those flame-breathing dragon monsters?" He vividly remembered the frightening picture that Cece had shown him. What was he to do? Without shelter, he would surely freeze. But protection from the terrible cold lay within the home of some frightful creature. Dwayne had come to a dilemma often described as being stuck between a rock and a hard place. In Dwayne's case, he was stuck between a blizzard and a dragon monster. In the last remaining non-addled corner of his blizzard-frozen brain, Dwayne reasoned with himself. "I left the protection of my cave this morning as an explorer. As an explorer, it's not my job to explore the unknown. And even if that unknown is scary or dangerous, don't I, as an explorer, still have to explore it? Especially if it's a matter of life and death?" These were very good questions, best answered by a less freezing polar bear. But more importantly, what the questions did do was make Dwayne feel brave and heroic by asking them. With all the strength he could gather, Dwayne clawed at the snow wall until he forced his way into the lair, ready to face his unknown fate at the mercy of the dragon monster. "I am Dwayne," he shouted valiantly. "Polar bear explorer in search of the unknown and a little warmth, if possible." But there was no dragon monster before him. There was, however, a young girl in a bright red parka tending to a fire in the middle of a cozy ice dome. 8 sled dogs sat attentively beside her. A short pause followed Dwayne's dramatic entry, into which Dwayne took in the non-threatening surroundings and lowered his front paws, while at the same time the 8 sled dogs relaxed onto their stomachs, and the young girl simply blinked twice. You or I might have responded to a polar bear crashing into our home with a little more alarm. Perhaps, I won't speak for you, but I would definitely have screamed at least once or 5 times. The young girl, however, did not. She was placid and calm. The world may well be filled with all sorts of surprises, but she was not one to be surprised when she encountered any of them. There was a perfectly fine entrance on the other side, she eventually said, indicating the snow tunnel behind her. Dwayne glanced around her and nodded. I realize that now, he said apologetically. Perhaps I should fill in the extra hole I made. I think the storm will do it on its own in very little time, said the girl. If you don't mind me saying, you look rather cold and tired. Come sit by the fire until the weather decides to be friendlier, and we can all go about our day. That was the best suggestion Dwayne had heard in a long time. He flopped down onto the ground with his face near enough to the fire to thaw his ice-covered nose, but not burn it. It was snug and warm in the cozy snow cave, while the wind howled and raged. This time, it sounded as if the monster were on the outside. I was exploring unknown territory, Dwayne explained to his host. I thought nothing interesting was ever going to happen, and then this happened. The young girl in the red parka gave a quick nod of understanding. Tuesdays, she said. Tuesdays, agreed Dwayne. The 10 souls passed the time in friendly conversation. The girl shared dried berries with Dwayne, which kept his stomach content and well-behaved. The sled dogs, who referred to themselves as the pack, volunteered to sing a few choral pieces, consisting of a lot of yips and howls. Their songs touched Duane. They made him feel wistful and homesick for his cave and his friends. Sleepiness eventually came over all of them, and without needing to announce it, they all lay close to the fire, close to one another, and slumbered peacefully while the wind's angry tirade lessened. In the morning, Duane volunteered to clear the snow that blocked the girls' tunnel entrance and all the snow that had accumulated beyond it. Outside, the sky was blue and the sun was shining again. The ignored wind, its feelings hurt, had already left in search of another audience. The girl loaded up her sled before turning to Duane to say goodbye. She felt like a friend now, and Duane was always compelled to hug his friends with all his heart. But what if she was the sort who preferred three blinks, like Cece? As Duane fretted over how to say a proper farewell that contained all his gratitude, and happiness, and sadness too, in their separating, he didn't notice that the girl had already stretched her arms as much as they would reach around his waist, and laid the side of her head against his fur. "Ah," said Duane gently, and gently too, he hugged her back. Shortly after, he watched the devoted pack carry the girl in the red parka in the opposite direction from where he was heading. The girl never told Duane her name, but since Duane was good at giving names, he chose to call her Sun Girl, for different reasons, some of them which you might be able to figure out. It would not be the last time Duane would meet Sun Girl, but he didn't know that yet. He turned toward home, his exploring adventure concluded. He looked forward to reaching his cave and his soft bed. He looked forward, too, to telling his mother other friends about his new friends and how they had all coped with this unexpected situation.